Yet among the people of one city, the dilatoriness of the great king was starting to prompt sentiments altogether less enthusiastic. For the Spartans, the prospect that they might have to defend Thermopylae during August was a truly excruciating one. 4 years had passed since the previous games at Olympia. Now, with the moon already waxing, the new games were destined to start when it was full. So, too, to compound the agony, was the Carneia. The conjunction of these two festivals portended a period of more than usually sacrosanct truce. How could the Spartans possibly break it? Haunted already by the spectres of the murdered Persian ambassadors, the notion that they might offend the gods with even more impieties was too hideous to contemplate. No, the Spartans could not possibly march north in August. To do so would be both criminal and lunatic. The Olympic truce could not be broken. But who were barbarians to respect such scruples? Sure enough, no sooner had August arrived than the news that all Greece had been dreading duly arrived at the isthmus. The Persians had begun clearing roads along the foothills of Olympus. The conference broke up at once. In Athens, where the docks were already in turmoil with the demands of the evacuation, the city's fighting men were frantically scrambled. Some ships were even entrusted to volunteers from loyal Plataea, whose courage and spirit, it was hoped, might serve to compensate for their total ignorance of the sea. Thus, even leaving behind a substantial reserve fleet to guard their home waters, the Athenians succeeded in dispatching to Euboea 127 ships. Other cities, Corinth and Aegina, prominent among them, sent all they could as well. To anyone watching the Allied fleet as it rounded the headland of Sunium on its journey north, trireme after trireme, oars churning the water, the spectacle would have been a stirring one. There were 271 frontline warships in total sailing for Euboea, a brave and inspirational effort. Sent in command of it, as had been agreed the year before at the Hellenian, was a Spartan, Eurybiades. Here, for his countrymen, was a bitter irony. Haunted although they may have been by their dread of breaking the Olympic truce, the contemplation of what other cities were committing to the war effort could hardly help but serve to prick their sense of honour. To man the land approaches as others were to guard the sea lanes. This was hardly a duty that the Spartans could now shrug aside. Somehow, a compromise had to be found, one that might spare them the fury of the gods, while simultaneously enabling them to hold true to their sworn commitments. Why not, then, since it was still clearly out of the question for a full army to be dispatched until the Olympic truce was over, send an advance guard to secure the pass? If other cities, lying on the 200-mile road that wound from Lacedaemon to Thermopylae, could be persuaded to swell it with contingents of their own, then even a small force of Spartans might hope to hold out, particularly if that force were to be drawn from the very sternest, the very toughest of the elite. And particularly, since the message broadcast to the world of Spartan resolution would then be unmistakable, if it were led by a king. Leonidas it was who took the perilous commission. As representative of the senior royal line, it was his duty. But preparing for his desperate mission, he would hardly have forgotten the menacing terms of the oracle. Either his city was to be wiped out, or everyone within the borders of Lacedaemon must mourn the death of a king sprung from the line of Heracles. It would surely not have escaped his attention either that it was on a peak above Thermopylae that Heracles himself had perished, consigning his mortal flesh and blood to fire, that he might then ascend to join the gods. Well then might Leonidas have dismissed the Hippace, that crack squad of 300 young men who customarily served in battle as the bodyguard of the king, and replaced them with older veterans, all men with living sons. A ringing statement of intent. Whatever might happen at the pass, whether glorious victory or total defeat, Leonidas would stay true to his fateful mission. One way or another, he would secure the redemption of his city. There was to be no retreat from Thermopylae.